This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 483, recorded on February 9th, 2016. Joining me as usual, and still in probably very warm southern, is it southern Mississippi? Where is it in the state, Sally?
It is. It's down in the southwest corner. I'm down here in Natchez, Mississippi. Natchez, the town motto is where the old South still lives, and I'm soaking in the sunshine. It was 80 degrees yesterday.
Wells Tech,
so gotta love it while we can.
Holding down the fort, yes. So thanks again for joining us, Sal. And we've got a special guest today to join us right away.
So I'm sorry, I missed what you said. Hopefully my audio is not going to cut out too much. I didn't hear all of that, but I'm sure it was good.
It was telling everybody how excited we are that we have a special guest today.
We do have a special guest and a special focus today, a little bit different than the normal tech talk. We're going to talk some technology and also some focus on women and women's ministry and outreach and things. And joining us to do that is the owner / co-founder of Holy Hen House. They say that chatter that matters over at Holy Hen House. Welcome, Amanda Rose. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Really looking forward to time with you.
Awesome. Maybe you could start out by helping our Wells Tech listeners get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Amanda, your family, and other interesting points.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my name is Amanda, and I am, currently a mother to three. I have one on the way as well. And I am a pastor's wife, and we're about, 3 years into the ministry. So we're still, I guess, technically newbies, but we're just grateful for the two congregations my husband is a pastor to, and that is Zion Lutheran in Kingston, Wisconsin, and the other is St. John's in Salemville, Wisconsin. And so we're really, grateful for this season to be, in the ministry. And some more things, I went through Bethany Lutheran College for music, and then later I went to Graduate School Milwaukee for music composition. So I have my degree, my master's in music composition, so I'm a composer, I'm a musician, of course, and I still currently teach music lessons and, of course, direct choirs. And if any of you know the Lutheran Kaylee Orchestra, I sing and play keyboard and tour with them, which is such a blessing. About once a month I can commit to. And so those are some of the things that I enjoy: being outdoors, reading chapter books aloud to my children. Right now, I'm in this sweet, simple time of, kind of that busy challenge with little ones, but at the same time, they're simple moments. So I hope that gives you kind of a collected idea of who I am, what my life is like. And you might hear some children right now because it is lunchtime. But I guess part of my life now is I am more, stay-at-home mom. I homeschool, but once the children are in bed and, I flip the switch and I'm a work-at-home mom at the same time. So I have the ministry, which you mentioned before, Holy Hen House, with a collective group of women. And so I spend time doing that, or I write music once the kids are in bed too. So, those are some of the parts.
Mentioned Holy Hen House. We've mentioned it on the show a number of times. I love the welcome message that you have on your site. It says, "Come on in. We're imperfect women spurred on by God's perfect grace to share chatter that matters in a noisy world. Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite chair and draw inspiration from our adventures in thriving or not in our walks of faith. We are certainly not perfect. We point to the one who is Jesus." Very well written and very, very inviting and welcoming. First of all, I have to ask, where did you get the name?
Yes, great question. We get it a lot. Holy Hen House, you can imagine, we'll get to this in a little bit, I bet, about how the roots of Hen House started, but eventually, over time, this house hopping women's Bible study that met up, we decided once I was going to leave for my husband's vicar year to, you know, keep connected online. Blogs were kind of a trendy thing at the time. I said, even if just us and our mothers read this, let's keep encouraging one another. And so that's kind of how the idea sprouted. But the name itself was actually quite a challenge to come up with, because again, this is about 8 to 10 women who met weekly for Bible study. Trying to agree even on one thing is a challenge for women, right? So it took us a couple of weeks, like about 6 weeks. We were sharing different names, and I'll let you in on this. For a while, we were going to go with the name Raising Roots, and that was kind of the idea that we were raising up, again, we were, you know, starting families at that time, raising up a generation that would be rooted in Christ. So that was our first name, but the branding and the design and even the name, it was a little confusing when we would say it at first to other people. And we experimented with it for a couple of weeks, even paid a designer to do a logo. And eventually, one day, a close friend of mine who is a fellow hen and I walked on Fridays, and we're like, oh, we just can't come up with a name. We keep going back and forth. We cut down names, or we have more. And I'm trying to remember who said this. I was like, yeah, we both kind of just said, yeah, we're a bunch of hens just cackling back and forth. What's new? And I said, oh, what about that? We stopped walking. I'm like, what about his hen house? And she looked at me kind of confused, like, oh, maybe not his hen house. That could have several connotations that we don't want to be implied.
Right.
But she said, what about Holy Hen House? And we both said, we loved it. We loved that. Just within those three words, it gave a summary that it was a group of women, that it involved talking or chatter, but then the word holy in it kind of brings in that sanctified talk, that it wasn't just gossip or mindless talking. It was, you know, words that pointed us to Christ's grace and his love in our families, our marriages, communities. So the name stuck. And then, of course, branding a hen is pretty simple to come up with and easy to remember. So, yeah, that's how the name came up. And it really reflects the group of women quite well. When we get together, it's still really hard to get through our meetings because we talk a lot. So, yeah.
Very fun. So I assume you probably started out with the blog effort and just sharing your faith through a blog. And then it's gone a lot of different directions since then. Maybe give us a little history of how it's grown.
Wow. Yes. Looking back at this, even from the beginning of when this began, is, you know, really just a group of women who met weekly, and maybe meekly. I'm not so sure about that. But we met weekly for Bible studies, and just seeing how God over time has, you know, cultivated this ministry despite our efforts or ideas is really quite exciting, you know, and fun, a privilege to be on this ride. So, yes, we began as a blog, as I mentioned, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago. That was more of a, you know, popular, trendy thing to try. And we thought, again, let's just give it a try. Let's just write, you know, as if we're talking to one another. So some of our values were just to be, you know, sharing honest depictions of our life, as you mentioned in our description, thriving or not in our homes, and just sharing, you know, grace for when we weren't, because that's something that reflected in our Bible studies, you know, when we would do prayer requests and things. So we were a blog for, I would say, and we still are, we're still a blog, holyhenhouse.com. There were just these organic things that would come up from our readers, from other hens, just opportunities that we would just try and adapt. One example of several examples, I suppose, is our workshops. There was a church that had a mom's group, and they said, would anyone be interested in speaking for a mom's group? And so I, you know, inquired on our group, is anyone interested? And about 5 of them said, sure. So we did a mini free workshop for them. And then some at the church says, you know, I think a lot of women could really use this encouragement. And so we said, okay, let's try this one. And we did this at a larger church in Germantown, Wisconsin. And we were like, maybe if 30 come, that will floor us. Like if 15, that'd be great. And then we had to keep pulling more chairs because over, you know, about 60 women came to this, you know, first advertised workshop. And, you know, we were just floored by that. And it wasn't, again, that we can take any of that glory or anything like that. It was just showing us the greater need that was there for our demographic or our generation, for, you know, younger women in the faith to be encouraged by other women and get together face to face. So we had that blog component online, but we saw that that still doesn't meet that need of community face to face. So our workshops grew from that kind of organically, just kind of, again, taking a risk and adapting and listening to what our readers and other people said they needed.
Do you do in that workshop? What does it look like?
Yeah, I know. If you could be a fly on the wall, I tell you. No, you're more than welcome to come, even if you're a male, that's fine too. We're nice. So a workshop, when we start in prayer. We start with a few songs. Quite a few of us are musical. So we have, you know, violinists, I play piano and sing. And so we start with a song. And typically at workshops, there's three different, topics that the church or the ministry chooses. And we have three different speakers who speak on them. We did a workshop recently in Illinois where they had breakout sessions for the middle group. So we actually had five topics that were spoken that day. Some that were more specific, you know, if the women are younger or if they're single. So it really depends on what their needs are for that certain ministry or congregation. But yeah, so we have the spoken content, and we have breaks in between where women can, again, get together, talk, and just be, you know, encouraged by their fellowship with one another. And of course, with some more music and more prayer. So,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And the idea of the workshop, I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot. But the idea of the workshop isn't just us to lecture at the women, but to get them engaged with one another. Because we found a lot of women in churches, whether it's Ladies Aid on a Mom's Group, they don't really know each other or have a mentor relationship, which is one of our values. So we try to get the women engaged with one another in conversation and activities, and then too, in God's Word. So equipping them that way too for when they leave. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, many of our Wells Techers are perhaps on Facebook, have either church or school pages that they're using on Facebook, and branching into Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram and all of those channels that I see you guys are successful on. And I just wondered if you had advice or experience about connecting with people through social media.
Yeah, I would say with social media, when we first began, I was given some really great advice, which I still treasure and try to keep as, you know, keep ourselves accountable to, which is this: use the platform as it's intended to be used. So if you are going to write a blog post, for example, don't just share that blog post on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Pinterest, all the same way, right? We're looking, the whole purpose for social media is to engage with people, to, you know, have that community, you know, so if you're just spamming them with your content all the time and look at our stuff, people start to sign off on that. And I think what's nice is with Instagram, you know, that's where a lot of our readers are for our demographic. So it's so positive on there, just sharing encouraging words or graphics or, you know, pictures throughout our day has been great. Again, Facebook is great for a lot of dialogue. We do share posts on those regularly because most of our readership is on there. Of course, Facebook is always changing, so we're constantly adapting. They don't always, you know, share to everybody. And Pinterest, we try to keep that also, not necessarily here's a bunch of our blog posts, but here are things that we think you might like. You know, just trying to keep that because we don't do as much of the DIY content or recipes anymore. We know that there's better blogs who do that content better than we do. So we just share the ones that we think our readers would be interested in. So yeah, my advice would be to engage on social media the way it was intended. We've noticed less of our demographic is on Twitter. And honestly, because it's so hard for us to condense anything to 140 words, we're kind of hit and miss on Twitter. We don't pay as much attention on it, and we don't feel too bad about it because, again, not a lot of, you know, women in our demographic are on that one. But yeah, use them as intended. Don't overstay.
Is it a goal then to try and build a larger community? Is that one of the things that comes out of these workshops? This is, hey, I want to stay connected with you guys. So you meet up on Facebook, or you're driving community, virtual community as well, or is that just kind of a byproduct of what happens because of what you've been sharing?
Yeah, I think it is a byproduct. Our intent is to really build quality community. So regardless of how many numbers you have on social media or how many people are, you know, on the blog or things like that, if there isn't that engagement, if there isn't that back and forth, I think you start to lose the quality or the value
right. In
whichever platform you have online. And again, we're trying to fill that need for other women to get into God's word and to build sustaining relationships with other women of faith. So, for example, we have the meetups now, which are, you know, basically how we began way at the beginning, which were, you know, house hopping Bible studies. So women do have a closed Facebook group, private on purpose, right? Because they share sensitive material and they meet in their homes once a month. And so, yes, it is this part, a byproduct where they are online building that community, but then also in person. As right. I mentioned earlier, yes, there's all the social media and the blog kind of reality, but people still need that face-to-face encouragement. So we have about, I think, 12 of those going, and we just started the meetups in November. And they don't need to use our content. They do get discounts and things like that. But again, the objective is for them really simply to get together and share God's word with one another. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, very exciting ministry that you have there. Amanda, I wonder what's next? Do you have plans on the horizon for new things in Holy Hen House? Or?
Yes. No, I'm so excited for what's next. Each year that we have been around, which is about, I think this is our fifth year now, which is
crazy.
But so we have some new things that are coming up for this year, 2017. When we began this blog, so doing the math, we were all in our mid-20s, right? And now we're getting older, and it's, you know, we've included women who are older, who have children who are in high school. Even grandmothers are writing on our blog, kind of, again, trying to reflect our value and our mission, which is based off of Titus chapter 2. Again, that mentor relationship that God encourages for us. But now we're kind of getting older. It's like, wow, we need the younger writers again and more single women. You know, their voices need to be heard too. So there's this challenge of Hen House growing, but yet still having a brand online that way. So this next year, we're, again, taking a risk and trying new things. We're going to have this umbrella, Holy Hen House, and then the different categories of women. So we're having right now an application process for, you know, women who are younger, really like 20 up to, you know, 27, to have them join in on our team. And of course, we have a couple slots for older women as well. And I mean like 50, 60, you know, more seasoned women, again, you know, give a reflection of that mentorship online. I think, you know, we don't see that practice very often. And if we can do that, I think that's something that sets Holy Hen House apart in our workshops, on our Bible studies and online. So that's something new that we'll be doing. Another thing is our Out of the Nest event is coming up in April. And that's a Mom's Night Out event in downtown Milwaukee. And we've sold out the last 2 years. So this is our third year. And really looking forward to that event. It's on Friday, April 28th. And our theme this year is royal, just kind of our identity in Christ. You know, he is the one who, you know, makes us holy. It's not based on our identity of ourselves and our, you know, performances or anything like that. So just encouragement for women there. I'm trying to think. I got a list here of some of the new things. Oh, yes. So over time with our Bible studies, I used to have a free PDF every week. And women would eventually say, can we just have this all together bound up? Because the inconvenience of having to print it, and then I'd forget 1 week, and then they'd eventually, you know, fizzle out. So again, just listening to people's needs and, you know, acting on them, we put together Bible studies. And so for 2017, we're creating some new ones. So here's an example of some of our old ones. This is one we're actually currently doing called Walk in the Light, based on John's letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then Woman Wrecked, Woman Redeemed is another one that we have currently on our site. But this year we have three new ones coming out, and we have, you know, kind of like the typical mugs and apparel things too in our shop, and we never saw that coming either. But again, listening to women and just kind of filling that in has kind of gotten us to that part. So we're having new launches for the year for our shop, and looking forward to that. So I think, oh yeah, I can give you this little secret. We haven't really announced any of this yet, but coming up this fall, we're looking to do a one-day conference. And again, because so much of our demographic, it's hard to get out overnight and invest in a whole weekend or the travel even. So we noticed if, you know, if we can't even make that realistic in our plans, we can expect our readers or followers. So we're planning a one-day conference on a Saturday coming up this next fall for women in the Wisconsin area, the Midwest area. So we're really excited for this year. And again, we make our plans, but we keep our, you know, minds flexible too with our eraser to see, you know, what God has planned, because each year he's shown us different paths. So we're just excited to see what he has in store. So, yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and share your exciting ministry. I know you must have a lot of energy to be able to sustain this and the other gals as well. That's just a super ministry, and God's blessings on that. For those that are watching or listening, remember that is holyhenhouse.com. I suppose that's the best place to send people. They want to find out what's going on, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Very interesting opportunity to talk with Amanda and see growth. And I think the growth started from technology and has branched in a lot of directions. And I think that other people could have similar success if they're as committed as this group of ladies has been to Holy Hand House.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics to kind of getting a movement like that going. I think one is to at least have a little bit of success. So try and not to start too big. And I think they started small with these Bible studies and then grew from there. And then I think in any kind of ministry, there's going to be that maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years out, boy, this is a lot of work, you know, and things get in the way and whatever. But if you get the right people and the good mix, that's really important to kind of reach that critical mass at that point where there's other people that can kind of be the creative thinkers and take over some stuff. And it seems like just looking at their roster of people that are involved and just listening to Amanda talk, it's really not a one woman show. It's definitely a team effort, and that can kind of keep that momentum going as well. Really important.
Yeah. And I love how they've branched into the, you know, the face-to-face meetings and, right, you know, also the flexibility of listening to their audience, the people that are reading their content and connecting with them and commenting and things and developing resources in response to that. So I would venture to say that when we started Wells Tech over 9 years ago now, Martin, we didn't know where it would lead us. And over time, different opportunities have made themselves available. Like Amanda said, you know, with the flexibility of knowing that the Lord's in control and will guide our steps and things, I think you can go far if you're willing to listen and respond.
So again, Amanda, many thanks for taking the time out of, I'm sure, her very busy schedule to join.
Definitely. Definitely.
We should probably also mention that there is more women's ministry within the Synod beyond just the Holy Hen House, and that's Wells Women's Ministry, and they have a whole series of events coming up as well, right, Sally?
Yeah, we want to include a link in our show notes to Wells Women's Ministry on the Wells Resource Center, and you can find Bible studies and devotion material there. Things like Advent by Candlelight services are coming up. You might want to try a Lent by Candlelight service, and they have a couple of those that you can download and use for free. The group had a conference last summer, so you can download resources from their women's ministry conference, and lots of other resources to explore here on the website. So check it out. Looks like they even have Spanish language studies for women as well. So if you have a women's ministry type group, you might find some new resources here available for you, or be encouraged to share these resources with the women in your congregation.
So while we're probably on the topic of women's ministry, we should jump to our Wells Now section. It's a section where we look at different goings on within the Wells. And speaking of women, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, a large group of ladies that get together every year, and their convention registration is just opening up for their summer.
That's correct. And maybe some of the people in our audience would want to have the opportunity to head to Orlando, Florida this summer for the LWMS 54th annual convention happening June 22nd through 25th in Orlando. So they do plan to live stream a good portion of the event. So if you aren't able to be there in person, you can check out our live stream channel for that. But there's recreation abounds, including a Holy Land experience, a biblical theme museum there in the Orlando area. So lots to do. Registration, early bird registration ends April 1st and is $190. After April 1st, the fee will be $210. So good opportunity for you to get in on that early registration, and you can do that over at lwms.org. There's a video here that you can learn more about the convention and what to expect. So check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes.
Very nice. Let's move back, I guess, to news in tech.
It's like a clock, Martin. We're supposed to go in order.
I know.
You can't turn back the hands.
Too, yes.
Yeah.
It's going against the grain.
Normally we do news in tech right away, but happy to go back and pick up. And this is a little bit geeky and maybe not so techy, although I'm sure there's some apps that would help you with this. Did you know that tomorrow night, that would be February 10th, Friday night, there will be not one, not two, but three major happenings in the night skies. So there's going to be a comet that is within the closest as it's been since 30 years ago. There's going to be an eclipse, and there's going to be a full moon. So three things happening. There's an article on it about all of that and how to find out more on CNET. And, you know, CNET is the place to go for tech news. So I figured it fit the bill for being news and tech, and you can learn more over on that CNET article about all those things. They're calling it a snow moon. Should be interesting.
So are you in a place where you're going to be able to see the night sky clearly? You out in the country?
Yeah.
You got
it says
around.
It says about the western two-thirds of the United States, including where I'm located, will be able to see the full snow moon eclipse at moonrise, so pretty early in the evening. But that eastern two-thirds of the country, I'm sorry, one-third of the country, and probably including the Milwaukee area and going east from there, should be able to see the entire eclipse. So watching at moonrise, that's a good time for most of the country.
To see if I can walk over to the ski hill close to our house and have them turn off the lights for a little bit. That is challenges for us. That is a beacon in our night sky. Oh, well, so if you want to learn more, and if you're listening to this before February 10th, which is a slim window because we're publishing a little bit later this week, take advantage of that.
Definitely.
Sally, we should move along to our picks of the week.
And I thought you were going to reorder this one as well, because it's definitely women's ministry focused, and it's actually tied to a pick that I had earlier, and that I borrowed a book using Kindle Unlimited and am reading for free then the book Simply Tuesday. And it's definitely written for women. And the focus of the book is on the hustle and bustle of this life. So we've talked a lot about personal productivity and getting things done and all those kind of things, but how God speaks to us in whatever place we are, and it's okay to slow down and listen to him. From a woman's perspective, you know, paying attention to the little things instead of always searching and striving for big accomplishments or to be in the limelight, but rather to be comfortable in the small things of life, the work of today, and not being so competitive and stuff, but instead listening to God's voice and letting it lead you. And I think it's very well written. I can't vouch 100% for the theology that's involved. I believe she comes at it from a Southern Baptist perspective, but she has a lot of very positive things to say in the book. And it's just been an excellent read, and I highly recommend it, especially for the women in our listening audience. It's called Simply Tuesday, Small Moment Living in a Fast-Moving World, and it's available for Kindle. The paperback version is only $9.39, so not very expensive. You can get an Audible version or audio CDs if you prefer. The writer is Emily Freeman, pastor's wife, and just has a really great way of making you think about your role in God's kingdom. So highly recommend it.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Have you finished it?
I have not. I kind of put things on hold when I came down here to Mississippi.
Okay. So but you have to give us a review once you're all done with that.
Maybe yeah, it was treadmill reading material, so I'll definitely get back
to
it.
Can you read a book on the treadmill?
I can. I'm very coordinated. Can you?
Nope.
Wow. I got you beat.
I can't read the car either. So, you know, that's all probably part of it. So that's okay. Where I get audiobooks. And that's a real win for me when I'm on the treadmill is the audiobooks. So
there's an option.
All right. My pick of the week. Very often on this show, we talk about the importance of getting imagery onto your social media and kind of the importance of pictures in general in today's communication strategies. And I've been doing a lot more kind of reading and playing around with using my smartphone's camera versus, you know, the DSLR or whatever, and have had a lot of success. And I think that's a big win for those of you that are responsible for putting images on your websites and on Facebook and whatever. But one weakness I've found, and it really doesn't matter which phone you use, which camera phone you use, even the iPhone 7, which I'm using, which I think has one of the better cameras out there, I think indoor poorly lit situations are still a challenge for a camera phone. So I went on a hunt to see how I could correct that and, you know, maybe capture those photos. And this all kind of started around Christmas time when everybody's, you know, opening presents and you're taking family photos inside and whatever. So rather than, you know, carry around the big DSLR, I did some research and found that the point and shoot cameras that are around today have gotten really good. And especially kind of in these challenging situations and, one of the neat things about them, obviously, is that they're pocketable and you can carry around. And one of the smallest ones that I found that still has that larger sensor, a 20-megapixel camera, is this Canon PowerShot G9X. Now, this is I got this off of eBay for about $300. It sells new for about $430. So, and I don't have any problem, you know, getting good quality stuff off of eBay. I've had pretty good luck, in fact, with camera gear. But this takes excellent indoor shots as well as outdoor shots and still gives you the larger image. The iPhone, for instance, their pictures are at 12 megapixels, so this is significantly greater, so you have a little bit more to work with. You have the built-in flash, but you also have a pretty good aperture at low light, so you can get down to f2.0 and still kind of get the pictures that maybe you couldn't get with a smartphone. And the portability of this is really nice. It's got a touch screen, so you can zoom in with that. Again, just the size of it makes this a win, I think, especially for those of you responsible for taking photos of church events, school events, indoor, outdoor, that you want to maybe a little bit more reach and a little bit more flexibility than you might get from a smartphone. The quality is just a little bit better, I think, on these kinds of cameras. And they're, I think their single-use nature makes them a little bit better fit for some of the photography needs that we might have versus the smartphone options that you have. So there is a new model of this coming out, the G9X2. So that's why I think you can get these cheap or fairly cheap or inexpensive, and the prices will probably drop for the new ones too. But there's a bunch of these out on eBay. This was a very popular camera about 2 years ago when it came out. And there are others in this range, but I think this is about the cheapest one and the smallest one. So those are all kind of the contributing factors to making this usable. Just keep around the church or the school as kind of the go-to camera for those shots that you want to include in, you know, whatever scenario. So that is my pick of the week. I haven't used it extensively. I've only had it a little while, but I'm planning on kind of trying to see if that can almost replace the DSLR because the megapixels are pretty similar and the lens is pretty good. And for my needs, it might be a better scenario than carrying around all the gear that goes along with the DSLR with the lenses and all that jazz. So that's my pick of the week.
Very interesting. It's like a departure from the direction you were going with your photography.
So. Yeah, and it's a lot cheaper. I mean, when you go the DSLR route, I mean, you're talking, you know, twice this for a camera body without any lenses at all, and then the lenses, and you got different focal lengths and whatever. And I think this might be fit the bill a little bit better even. So we'll see.
And so, do you have the ability to take it off of automatic settings and tweak?
Yeah, you can take RAW with this if you want to use RAW. You've got the flexibility to bring it on the computer and, you know, correct exposure. Manual aperture priority, shutter priority, program mode.
Awesome.
People really use this a lot for video as well. It's got really nice video capabilities as well, although I find that the iPhone is really good at video as well. So one thing this has that the iPhone doesn't do a real good job at is audio capture. So this has a very good microphone attached to it. The iPhone, not quite as much. So they do different things, but because they're so small, you can just throw it in a bag or purse or whatever, and you've got it. You've got a lot of different options that way. So it's awesome. There really shouldn't be anything standing in your way for, you know, taking the pictures that you need.
Very good.
So we should move along to our ministry resources section. Let me flip over to the other screen here. Ministry resources. I've got Holy Hen House up here yet, but that's okay. One thing that I've kind of come to as I'm looking around at ministry outreach activities and inreach and how to hit millennials and Gen Xers, and, you know, there's a lot of discussion around, you know, what channel all these different groups are on. I think probably by and large, most people would agree that we're probably in a YouTube generation, the video is kind of taking over. And you don't have to go too far to kind of see that happening with things like Facebook Live and the stuff that we do, you know, even the video podcast that we do. You don't have to look too far on YouTube either for something that has kind of been described as video blogging, or for short, the new term is vlogging. And that's been around for a while too. So I found an interesting article by Google, their analytics team, and they call these folks that are kind of all over the video of things Gen Cers. Gen C, they write, is a powerful new force in consumer culture. It's a term we use to describe people who care deeply about creation, curation, connection, and community. It's not an age group. It's an attitude and mindset, and here are eight of its defining characteristics. You can read the blog post for what those characteristics are. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, where does the church fit in, and how are we doing as a church in kind of getting in this YouTube generation? Do we have vloggers out there? Do we have pastors, teachers, other people, other church workers taking advantage of how easy it is to get video online? And if that's an important way to reach those who maybe that's where they live and that's their preferred mechanism versus the printed word, we probably ought to be paying attention to some of the tools and techniques necessary to do a vlog, or, you know, these short video snippets that can be easily placed online. So I did a little experiment, and I thought, well, maybe I'd wrap it into a ministry resource. So I thought, what could I do in an hour to get video online? So I said, well, top 10 lists are popular. Maybe I could do a top 10 list. So I did a top 10 list of tips for vloggers. And I'm not a huge vlogger other than what I do here each week with you, Sally. But so I said, and I was on the road this week, so I thought, well, this would be even a better opportunity to kind of do a proof of concept. So I was out on the road to Michigan Lutheran Seminary this week. And in my hotel room one morning, I thought, well, let me see what I can do with the equipment that I have with me and create this top 10 list in video format. So I said, I'm not going to take any longer than an hour. That includes from conception to distribution. I thought, well, how much could I do? So what I wound up doing was doing this top 10 list with my iPhone. I did have along a Shure microphone. We've talked about that in the past. So I got a little bit better audio out of the deal. And then I suppose I could have put it on my computer, but I said, well, let's see if what we could do only with the iPhone. So I used iMovie on the iPhone, put the overlays in, pushed it up to YouTube, and an hour later, I had, it was about a 10-minute video with information that pops on the screen that illustrates what you're talking about, and my 10 tips for bloggers was done. So kind of more an experiment on my part, but I thought it might be a good ministry resource for those considering or thinking that, hey, this is hard. And it really isn't. You could get some decent stuff done in a very short amount of time with just the equipment you probably already have. So that, in essence, is my ministry resource.
Excellent experiment to share with us, Martin. You're awful brave. And I giggled when you said an hour from conception to reality, because I could do recording and posting, you know, all the post-production and getting it posted. But that conception part, that deciding what to vlog, that might take me 3 days beforehand.
I may have cheated on that. I may have lay in bed a little bit points, but once I finally got down to it, it was, I even took a, you know, kind of the notepad you get at the hotel with their pen and, you know, wrote out the list, and that was it. So, you know, it can be done. And I think there's great opportunities here. And I think there's some very creative church workers out there who could use this very effectively and just have to decide that, hey, this is a viable communications channel. I don't think mm-hmm. there's any denying that this is probably something that we need to get more comfortable with. So
definitely. I just was reminded of a friend who did an immersion trip, a language immersion trip, and they came back and said, you know, I'm definitely better than I was when I went, but I'm still not great at this language. However, it got me over feeling embarrassed about making mistakes or whatever. So I think, just like you, if you just try it, you know, and you just get comfortable with, I don't have to be perfect at this or whatever, but I have a voice and I have something to contribute, I think you can make great strides. So excellent.
Yeah. I'm reminded of passages like a city on a hill, you know, cannot be hidden. And we have opportunities. We have a message that has to be heard, and we can't stop but share it. We can't help but share it. So Speaking of video, Sally, each and every week we have a featured video, and this week is no different.
Yep, I think our those who tune in or check out our Wells Tech website will enjoy this video from David Wesley. The title is Emmanuel, from the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable, and it's a song that this gentleman, he records himself singing all the different parts of the song and mashes them into one video. Quite impressive to watch, and his voice is lovely. You'll enjoy it for sure. He's got a huge YouTube following because he does a really good job at this. And it's a song by Stuart Townsend, who co-wrote the In Christ Alone with Keith Getty. And Stuart Townsend described the process of writing Emmanuel, and that we found over on Bread for Beggars, one of our favorite blogs. And so you can read more about the song and Stuart Townsend's experience writing the song, If You Had a Heart of Bread for Beggars, and we'll have that link in the show notes as well.
Very good. We are going to do this again next week, Sally, and it'll be episode, what are we at here, 484 coming up here. And every month we devote one show to some social media channel, and we've come to the big bopper of them all. Facebook is next week. So we're going to be talking about Facebook and how that intersects with ministry. So tune in for that. Speaking of Facebook, we have a Facebook page ourselves if you want to visit it. Facebook.com/WellsTech, place to go to get involved there. And I mention that because in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a community feedback show. And that's where we gather up all of the things that have come into the various channels, whether they're email, wellstech@wells.net, comments on our show notes page, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google Plus, Digo, Instagram, they're all in there. Our Wells Tech, I almost said listserv, it's now our Google group. Those are all at your disposal to share with us things that you found to be helpful, questions that you might have, suggestions for future topics. All those are fair game, and we would love to have you guys, all of you, join the conversation. Let's just be one big happy Wells Tech family and have that conversation together. Sally, next week we're going to see you in your normal environs, I think, aren't we? Headed home?
Yep, if you will recognize them, we'll see. Plan is to be back in Minnesota.
One piece. Your boys are pretty good about that, so I'm sure.
They've assured us that the exterior is not changed, so we'll see what the interior looks like.
Very good. Safe travels. Blessings on your journey. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.